Welcome back to Path of a Green Witch podcast. My name is Asha, and I am Andrea's assistant. I will be your host today. Andrea Brooks is the founder of the ABCK Institute, Ancient Black Civilizations and Knowledge Systems. Andrea is designing courses and a degree program that thoroughly covers the 300,000 years of human history. I encourage you to follow us to learn more about ancient Black civilizations and knowledge systems. ABCK Institute will have over 100 courses and a bachelor's degree as well. If you listened to the last episode about herbs that support ketosis, you know we're building out a whole series on metabolic health. We're talking about how women's bodies actually work. And today, we're getting into something that almost nobody talks about, why women have such a harder time getting into and staying in ketosis compared to men. If you've ever tried keto with your boyfriend or husband and watched him drop 15 pounds in a month while you're struggling to lose 5, if you felt like you're doing everything right, but your body is just fighting you the whole way, if you've lost your period on keto or felt absolutely terrible, this episode is for you because here's what most keto content won't tell you. Your reproductive hormones, estrogen and progesterone, are literally running the metabolic show. They change throughout your cycle in ways that directly affect your ability to achieve and maintain ketosis. And women's bodies are designed to hold on to fat stores because pregnancy and lactation require massive energy reserves. So when you and your boyfriend both go on the same strict keto diet, you're not playing on a level field. You're fighting against much stronger biological programming. And that's not failure. That's physiology. Today, we're breaking down exactly how estrogen, progesterone, cortisol, and thyroid interact with ketosis. We're talking about the menstrual cycle and when ketosis is easier versus harder. We're covering why postmenopausal women have a completely different experience. And we're getting into creatine supplementation, why women naturally have 70 to 80% lower creatine stores than men, and how this becomes crucial during the ketosis transition. Here's what we're covering today. First, the hormonal reality, how estrogen affects insulin sensitivity, how progesterone increases insulin resistance, why your body protects fat stores, and the cortisol-thyroid connection that most people completely miss. Second, the menstrual cycle, how each phase affects your ability to get into and maintain ketosis, and why a one-size-fits-all approach fails women. Third, postmenopausal differences, why ketosis actually gets easier after menopause but comes with its own challenges around muscle and bone health. And fourth, creatine. This is the supplement nobody talks about for women and ketosis, but it's potentially one of the most valuable tools you have. We're going to break down why women need it, how it helps during the ketosis transition, and exactly how to use it. By the end of this episode, you'll understand why your body works the way it does, and you'll have practical strategies that respect your hormonal reality instead of fighting against it. Let's dive in and learn why women struggle more with ketosis and how creatine can help. If you've ever tried to go keto and felt like you were fighting your own body the whole way, I need you to know something important. You're not imagining it. And it's not because you're doing it wrong or because you lack willpower. Your body is actually working differently than the bodies of the men who write most of the keto content out there. Women's bodies resist ketosis in ways that most mainstream keto advice completely ignores. We're told to just eat less than 20 grams of carbs, increase our fat intake, and boom, ketosis in 2 to 3 days. But for many women, especially those still menstruating, it doesn't work like that. You might be doing everything right, according to the standard advice, and still struggling to get into or stay in ketosis. The problem isn't you. The problem is that most ketogenic research and advice has been developed from studies done primarily on men. Women's hormones create an entirely different metabolic landscape, and it's time we talked about it honestly. The hormonal reality, why your body fights, fat burning. Let's start with the fundamental issue. Your reproductive hormones, estrogen and progesterone, have a massive impact on how your body handles glucose and fat metabolism. These aren't minor players. They're running the metabolic show, and they change throughout your cycle in ways that directly affect your ability to achieve and maintain ketosis. Estrogen and insulin sensitivity. Estrogen does something fascinating to your metabolism. It affects how sensitive your cells are to insulin. When estrogen is higher, particularly in the first half of your menstrual cycle, the follicular phase, you're generally more insulin sensitive. This means your body handles carbohydrates more efficiently, glucose gets into your cells more easily, and blood sugar stays more stable. Research has shown that the presence of normal amounts of estrogen in premenopausal women appears to limit or even block ketosis. In a mouse study, male mice on a ketogenic diet maintained blood glucose control and lost body weight, while female mice gained weight and showed poor blood glucose levels. When researchers removed the ovaries from female mice to eliminate estrogen and then put them on a ketogenic diet, they lost body fat and maintained blood glucose control just like the males. But here's where it gets tricky for getting into ketosis. When estrogen drops, like right before your period, insulin sensitivity decreases. Your body becomes more resistant to insulin, which means glucose doesn't clear from your bloodstream as easily. This makes it harder to deplete those glycogen stores we talked about in the previous post, the ones you need to burn through to get into ketosis. Progesterone's protective effect. Progesterone rises in the second half of your cycle, the luteal phase, and it increases insulin resistance even more. From an evolutionary perspective, this makes perfect sense. Your body is preparing for a potential pregnancy, and pregnancy requires reliable glucose availability. So progesterone essentially tells your body to hold onto glucose and be more reluctant to switch to fat burning. This isn't a flaw in your design. It's your body prioritizing reproductive capability. But it does mean that trying to force your body into deep ketosis during the luteal phase of your cycle is literally working against your hormonal programming. Studies on women with PCOS who followed ketogenic diets have shown that within 45 days, there were improvements in reproductive hormone levels, including reduced LH/FSH ratios and increased sex hormone binding globulin SHBG. The diet also led to significant weight loss. However, the research also suggests that the transition can be more challenging for women with normal hormonal function because their bodies are actively working to maintain glucose availability. Your body is protective of fat stores. Here's another reality that doesn't get talked about enough. Women's bodies are designed to maintain higher body fat percentages than men. We need those fat stores for reproductive health, hormone production, pregnancy, and lactation. Your body literally doesn't want to burn through fat as readily as a man's body does. Research shows that women naturally have 70 to 80% lower endogenous creatine stores than men, largely because we have less muscle mass. This becomes relevant for both energy production and the transition to ketosis, as we'll discuss later. This protective mechanism means that even when you're doing everything right for ketosis, your body may resist going too deep into fat-burning mode. It's not sabotage, it's survival programming that kept our ancestors' reproductive systems functioning even during times of food scarcity. Cortisol and the stress response. The ketogenic diet, especially in its initial phase, is a metabolic stressor. You're asking your body to fundamentally change how it produces energy, and that requires adaptation. Women's stress hormone responses can be more sensitive than men's. When you go into ketosis, particularly if you're being very strict about carbohydrate restriction, your body may respond by increasing cortisol production. High cortisol has several effects that work against ketosis. First, it stimulates gluconeogenesis, the production of new glucose in the liver from non-carbohydrate sources like amino acids. This works directly against your goal of depleting glucose and staying in ketosis. Second, cortisol competes with progesterone for the same precursor molecule, pregnenolone. This is called pregnenolone steal, and it means that when cortisol is high, progesterone production may drop. Lower progesterone can disrupt the delicate balance between estrogen and progesterone, potentially causing menstrual irregularities, mood issues, and other hormonal symptoms. Research shows that short-term ketogenic diets can increase both resting and post-exercise cortisol levels, particularly in the first 2 weeks of adaptation. While these effects tend to normalize after about 3 weeks, that initial stress response can be more pronounced in women. the thyroid connection. Your thyroid is the master regulator of your metabolism, and it doesn't love very low-carb diets, especially in women. The thyroid uses some glucose to convert T4, the inactive thyroid hormone, into T3, the active form. When you drastically cut carbs, especially for extended periods, some women experience a decrease in T3 production. Lower T3 means slower metabolism, which can manifest as fatigue, cold intolerance, hair loss, and difficulty losing weight, the exact opposite of what you're trying to achieve with ketosis. This thyroid suppression appears to be more common in women than men, though we need more research to fully understand why. The menstrual cycle and ketosis. A practical guide. Understanding how your cycle affects your metabolism can help you work with your body instead of against it. Follicular phase, days 1 to 14 approximately. This is typically the easier time to maintain ketosis. Estrogen is rising, insulin sensitivity is better, and your body is more metabolically flexible. If you're going to be strict about ketosis, this is the time to do it. Your threshold for ketosis might be higher during this phase. You may be able to eat 30 to 40 grams of carbs and still maintain ketosis, whereas that same amount might kick you out during other phases of your cycle. Ovulation, mid-cycle. Right around ovulation, estrogen peaks. Some women report increased energy and better workout performance. This can be a good time for more intense exercise, which helps deplete glycogen stores. Luteal phase, days 15 to 28, approximately. This is where things get harder. Progesterone rises, insulin resistance increases, and your body wants to hold on to glucose. Many women notice increased cravings, particularly for carbohydrates, during this phase. This isn't weakness, it's your hormones doing their job. During this phase, you might need to be stricter with carbohydrates to maintain the same level of ketosis, maybe 20 to 25 grams instead of 30 to 40. Or you might consider this the time to add strategic carbohydrates back in, which brings us to an important concept, cyclical ketosis, working with your hormones. Many women do better with what's called cyclical ketosis or carb cycling, going stricter with keto during the follicular phase and adding back some strategic carbohydrates during the luteal phase, especially in the days leading up to menstruation. This approach might look like days 1 to 14, strict ketosis, 20 to 30 grams of carbs, days 15 to 21, moderate low carb, 40 to 60 grams of carbs, days 22 to 28, adding strategic carbs from whole food sources like sweet potatoes, squash, or fruit. The benefits of this approach include better hormonal balance, reduced cortisol stress response, maintained thyroid function, and frankly, better adherence because you're not fighting your biology the entire month. Postmenopausal women, a different story. Interestingly, postmenopausal women often find ketosis easier to achieve and maintain than their younger counterparts. Why? Because those cyclical hormone fluctuations have settled down. Estrogen and progesterone are consistently lower, which removes some of the metabolic resistance to fat burning. However, postmenopausal women face their own challenges. As estrogen declines, there's an associated decline in muscle mass, bone density, and metabolic rate. The loss of estrogen's protective effects on muscle and bone means that maintaining muscle mass becomes even more critical. This is where resistance training combined with adequate protein becomes essential, and it's also where creatine supplementation can be particularly beneficial. Studies on postmenopausal women taking creatine at doses of 0.3 grams per kilogram of body weight per day, combined with resistance training, have shown improvements in muscle mass, strength, and physical function. The research suggests that postmenopausal women may benefit significantly from creatine supplementation, especially when it's paired with strength training. When women should be cautious about ketosis. Not every woman is a good candidate for strict, long-term ketosis. You should approach keto with extra caution or work with a healthcare provider if you have a history of amenorrhea, loss of menstrual periods, have hypothalamic amenorrhea or other fertility concerns, are underweight or have a history of eating disorders, have adrenal fatigue or chronic stress issues, have thyroid problems, are pregnant or breastfeeding, are perimenopausal and experiencing significant symptoms. The restrictive nature of very low-carb diets combined with the calorie restriction that often accompanies them can signal to your hypothalamus that food is scarce. This can trigger a shutdown of reproductive function as a protective mechanism. If your period stops or becomes irregular on a ketogenic diet, that's your body telling you that something needs to adjust. Enter creatine, the often overlooked tool for women in ketosis. This is where the conversation gets really interesting, and it's information that most women trying keto have never heard. Creatine supplementation can be particularly helpful for women transitioning to or maintaining ketosis, and the reasons go beyond just athletic performance. What creatine does. Creatine is a compound made from amino acids that's stored in your muscles as phosphocreatine. It plays a crucial role in the rapid regeneration of ATP, which is your body's primary energy currency. When you're doing any kind of short-burst, high-intensity activity, you're burning through ATP quickly, and creatine helps replenish it. Your body produces about 1 to 2 grams of creatine per day naturally, and you also get it from dietary sources, primarily red meat and seafood. But here's the critical point. Women naturally have 70 to 80% lower creatine stores than men. We produce less of it endogenously, we tend to eat less meat, a primary dietary source, and we have less muscle mass to store it in. Why creatine helps during the ketosis transition. When you're transitioning into ketosis, your body is in metabolic flux. You're depleting glycogen stores, your ATP production system is adapting to a different fuel source, and energy can feel sluggish, hence the keto flu. This is where creatine becomes valuable. Creatine supplementation can help maintain your energy and strength during this adaptation period. It's like having a backup energy system while your main system switches over. Research shows that creatine can be especially helpful for people on low-carb diets whose glycogen stores are depleted, particularly around exercise. Normally, athletes might consume carbohydrates after workouts to replenish glycogen, but creatine can serve as an alternative strategy for supporting post-workout recovery without breaking ketosis. There's also evidence that creatine supplementation combined with exercise may help deplete glycogen stores more quickly. Creatine supports high-intensity exercise, and high-intensity exercise burns through glycogen. So theoretically, supplementing with creatine while doing strategic exercise during your transition to ketosis could help you get there faster.
As we wrap up 2025, one thing's clear. Uncertainty isn't temporary. It's the world we live in now. Noble Gold Investments helps Americans protect what they've built with real gold and silver, holding value when everything else feels uncertain. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and take your first step toward a safe future. This holiday season, when you open up a qualified account, you'll receive 10 one-ounce commemorative silver holiday coins. Visit Noble Gold today.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Whether I'm worried about hosting or just giving that perfect gift, creating a delicious holiday for my loved ones is super important to me. From effortless holiday hostings to unforgettable gifts, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. They've always been super convenient in giving me the most high-quality steaks I could ask for, whether for myself or a loved one. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com, and for an extra $35 off, use code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM. Go to omahasteaks.com and use code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
Creatine for women beyond the transition. The benefits of creatine for women extend well beyond just easing the transition into ketosis, muscle preservation, and growth. When combined with resistance training, creatine helps women build and maintain lean muscle mass. This is particularly important on a ketogenic diet, where there can be initial muscle loss in the first few weeks. Studies show that creatine supplementation improves strength and exercise performance in premenopausal women, and the benefits are even more pronounced in postmenopausal women when combined with resistance training. Cognitive function. Creatine isn't just for muscles. Your brain uses it too. The brain accounts for only 2% of body mass, but uses 20% of the body's energy supply. Creatine helps maintain consistent energy in the brain, and research shows that supplementing with creatine raises brain levels. Studies have found improvements in short-term memory and reasoning skills with creatine supplementation, with the benefits being more significant in older adults and in vegetarians who start with lower creatine levels. When you combine creatine supplementation with ketosis, where your brain is getting steady fuel from ketones, you create a powerful cognitive boost. This can be especially helpful during the initial keto adaptation phase, when some people experience brain fog. Mood and mental health. Emerging research suggests creatine may help with mood and could potentially alleviate symptoms of depression. This is particularly relevant for women who have higher rates of depression and mood disorders than men. By supporting brain energy and neurotransmitter function, creatine might help buffer against some of the mood fluctuations that can occur during metabolic transitions. Bone health. For postmenopausal women especially, the combination of creatine and resistance training may have favorable effects on bone health, though more research is needed in this area. Recovery. Creatine has been shown to enhance muscle force recovery after exercise-induced muscle damage. For women doing resistance training while adapting to ketosis, this improved recovery can make a significant difference in maintaining workout quality and consistency. How to use creatine on a ketogenic diet. If you're considering adding creatine to support your ketosis journey, here's what you need to know. Choose the right form. Creatine monohydrate is the gold standard. It's the most researched form, it's effective, and it's affordable. It contains essentially zero carbohydrates, making it completely compatible with ketogenic diets. Avoid creatine products with added sugars, dextrose, or maltodextrin, as these can interfere with ketosis. Dosing. The typical recommendation is 3 to 5 grams per day for maintenance. Some people do a loading phase of 20 grams per day, split into 4 doses of 5 grams, for 5 to 7 days to saturate muscle stores more quickly, followed by the maintenance dose. However, the loading phase isn't necessary. You'll reach the same saturation point with consistent daily dosing. It just takes a few weeks longer. For postmenopausal women or those specifically looking for cognitive benefits, some research suggests higher doses, up to 20 grams daily, may be beneficial, but this should be done under professional guidance. Timing. While the exact timing isn't critical, many people take creatine around their workouts. Taking it post-workout with a protein source may enhance uptake, but consistency matters more than timing. If you prefer, you can just take it at the same time each day. Hydration. This is crucial. Creatine pulls water into muscle cells, and the ketogenic diet already has a dehydrating effect due to the loss of glycogen-bound water. Drink plenty of water. Aim for at least 8 to 10 glasses per day and more if you're active. Electrolytes. Maintaining electrolyte balance is essential on keto, and this becomes even more important when adding creatine. Make sure you're getting adequate sodium, potassium, and magnesium. Some research suggests that creatine absorption may be enhanced when taken with electrolytes. Quality matters. Choose creatine monohydrate products that have been third-party tested. Look for certifications like NSF Certified for Sport, Informed Choice, or USP to ensure purity and safety. Who should avoid creatine? While creatine is one of the most well-researched and safest supplements available, there are some people who should avoid it or use it only under medical supervision. People with kidney disease or kidney problems, those taking medications that affect kidney function, pregnant or breastfeeding women, though emerging research on pregnancy and creatine is promising, there isn't enough data yet to recommend it routinely. anyone with a history of bipolar disorder, creatine may increase risk of mania. Some people experience mild digestive upset when starting creatine, particularly at higher doses. Starting with a lower dose and gradually increasing can help minimize this. Practical strategies. Putting it all together. If you're a woman trying to achieve or maintain ketosis, here's a practical framework that respects your hormonal reality. For premenopausal women, track your cycle and notice how your body responds to carb restriction during different phases. Use a tracking app or just keep notes. Consider cyclical ketosis, going stricter during your follicular phase and adding strategic carbs during your luteal phase. Prioritize protein. Aim for at least 1 gram per pound of lean body mass. This supports muscle maintenance and helps prevent metabolic slowdown. Add creatine supplementation. Start with 5 grams per day. This can help maintain energy and strength during the transition and support long-term muscle health. Don't over-restrict calories. Severe calorie restriction combined with very low carb can signal famine to your body and shut down reproductive function. Use strategic exercise, particularly resistance training during your follicular phase and lower intensity activities during your luteal phase. Monitor your cycle. If your period becomes irregular or stops, that's a sign you need to add back carbohydrates or increase calories. Support your thyroid. Consider periodic carb refeeds every 1 to 2 weeks to support thyroid function, especially if you notice symptoms like fatigue, cold sensitivity, or hair loss. Manage stress. The cortisol response to ketosis can be amplified by other stressors. Prioritize sleep, consider meditation or other stress management practices, and don't overtrain. For postmenopausal women, you may find ketosis easier to achieve and maintain than younger women, but muscle maintenance becomes even more critical. Combine ketosis with resistance training at least 2 to 3 times per week. This is non-negotiable for maintaining muscle mass and bone density. Creatine becomes particularly important. Consider 5 grams per day minimum, possibly more, 0.3 grams per kilogram body weight, if combining with serious resistance training. Protein needs are higher. Aim for 1.2 to 1.6 grams per kilogram of body weight to support muscle protein synthesis. Watch for adequate calcium and vitamin D to support bone health. Be patient with weight loss. Metabolic rate naturally declines with age and the loss of estrogen. Focus on body composition, muscle versus fat, rather than just scale weight. Universal principles for all women. Quality matters more than macros. Focus on nutrient-dense whole foods, wild-caught fish, pastured meats, organic eggs, vegetables, healthy fats from avocados and olive oil, nuts and seeds. Listen to your body. If you feel terrible for more than 2 to 3 weeks on strict keto, it's not serving you. Adjust accordingly. It's not all or nothing. You don't have to be in deep ketosis 24/7 to get metabolic benefits. Many women do better with a low-carb approach that allows them to dip in and out of mild ketosis. Support your mitochondria. In addition to creatine, consider other mitochondrial support supplements if working with a practitioner. CoQ10, magnesium, B vitamins. Don't compare yourself to men or to the women in heavily edited Instagram posts. Your body is working on a different timeline with different hormonal influences, the bottom line. Getting into and staying in ketosis is genuinely harder for women than for men, and that's not in your head. Your reproductive hormones create metabolic conditions that actively resist prolonged deep ketosis, and this is actually a feature, not a bug, of female physiology. The good news is that once you understand what's happening, you can work with your body instead of against it. Cyclical approaches to ketosis that respect your menstrual cycle, adequate protein and calories, strategic use of creatine supplementation, consistent resistance training, and stress management can all help you get the benefits of ketosis without fighting your biology every step of the way. For postmenopausal women, the hormonal landscape is different, and ketosis may actually be easier, but the focus needs to shift heavily toward muscle maintenance through protein, resistance training, and creatine supplementation. Remember, the goal isn't to force your body into some ideal metabolic state that works against your hormones. The goal is metabolic flexibility, stable energy, mental clarity, and good health across your lifespan. For many women, that might mean spending more time in mild ketosis or cycling in and out of deeper ketosis, rather than maintaining extremely low carbohydrate intake year-round. Your body is wise. When it's resisting something, there's usually a reason. The trick is learning to understand those signals and finding an approach that supports both your metabolic goals and your hormonal health. Before we wrap up, I want to emphasize something about the research we covered today. The studies show that women have 70 to 80% lower creatine stores than men. Women's bodies respond differently to ketogenic diets than men's bodies. Estrogen and progesterone directly affect insulin sensitivity and glucose metabolism. This is well-established, peer-reviewed research that's been around for years. The problem is that most keto content creators either don't know this research exists or they ignore it because it complicates their message. It's easier to sell a simple, just eat under 20 grams carbs protocol than to acknowledge that women need nuanced, individualized approaches. But simple isn't always better. And definitely not when we're talking about women's hormonal health. What we covered today, the menstrual cycle's effect on ketosis, the role of leptin and body fat in thyroid regulation, creatine supplementation for women, cyclical approaches to carb intake, this is all science-backed, evidence-based information. The citations are in the written version on my Substack. Moving forward, here's what to focus on. 1. Adequate protein, at least 1 gram per pound of lean body mass. 2. Strategic carb timing based on your cycle if you're premenopausal. 3. Creatine supplementation, 3 to 5 grams daily. 4. Resistance training to preserve muscle mass. 5. Monitoring your menstrual cycle as a biomarker of metabolic health. And most importantly, if strict keto makes you feel terrible, gives you symptoms of hypothyroidism, or causes menstrual irregularities, that's your body telling you something important. Listen to it. The next episode is all about thyroid function and ketosis. This is going to be fascinating because thyroid function completely changes how you experience ketosis, and most women have no idea whether their thyroid is even functioning optimally. We're going to break down how hypothyroidism versus hyperthyroidism creates completely different experiences with ketosis and what that means for your approach. If you have any thyroid issues or even just suspect you might, that episode is going to be crucial. Remember, your body has wisdom. When it resists something, there's usually a reason. Learn to listen to those signals instead of overriding them. All of the detailed information from today's episode, including the full research citations, is available on my Substack. I'm Asha, Andrea's assistant, and this is Path of a Green Witch podcast. Next week, thyroid and ketosis. Thanks for listening. Take care of yourself.